Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the first installment of the interview series with people who've waken up at thetruthisyou.com. And I'm here today very honored to be speaking with Richard Lang, who's the head of headless.org. And you might kind of say, maybe this is not the right term, but lineage holder for Douglas Harding and his Headless Way work. Richard's maintained an amazing site, which you should definitely check out. And it's a special honor for me to speak with Richard today because not only have I been to one of his events that was just a phenomenal experience, a day-long event in Berkeley, but also Douglas was instrumental in a way in my own path of awakening to what I really am. It was early in my sort of focused work where I came across an article that introduced me to Douglas, unfortunately after he had passed away, but introduced his finger-pointing experience, which really, really gave me a focal point and a focus for looking at what I really, really am, as Douglas would say. And through the site that Richard so lovingly maintains, I've come to know Douglas, and also through Douglas's books, which are available on the site as well. And it's just been an amazing experience. So thank you so much for being here, Richard.
You're welcome. A pleasure.
So why don't you just tell some of your background to the people who might be listening for the which, in my opinion, anybody who doesn't know about Douglas Harding and your work with headless.org, if they've been seeking for more than 3 months, then they're doing something wrong. why don't you just let everybody know who you are and some of your background.
Okay, thank you, Travis. Thank you. Well, I'm Richard Lang, and as Travis said, I am involved with headlessness. And a brief bit of background, I'm 58 now, and I came across headlessness when I was 17. And I was a fairly confused teenager, but I was searching. And I, by chance, went to a workshop with Douglas Harding, and he got the participants to do a few experiments, including pointing at your own face and having a look for yourself to see what you see. And of course, I don't see my own face. I didn't see my own face then, and I saw into my true nature. And as well as being blown away by this, I also was attracted to the work and pleasure of sharing it. So I got to know Douglas and his friends, and I attended his workshops and just got the hang of the experiments and sharing with people. And I've been doing that ever since. So that's a little bit of background, Travis.
That's awesome, Richard. Thank you. One thing on my site that I'm trying to focus in on with people is not that there's any one way that this can be said, but to try and get people to have a good working definition of what awakening is. So how would you define awakening?
Well, yes, I would say that awakening is nonverbal. It's non-emotional, really, but let's just start with the nonverbal. When I point my finger at where others see my face and I look, this isn't a verbal experience, it's a nonverbal seeing. Or it can be a hearing experience of hearing the sounds in the silence here, or experiencing thoughts coming and going in the no mind here. Now, this is a nonverbal experience. And then I would say that this is absolutely obvious to everyone. But each of us will then express it in our own way, which is wonderful. The one here has many voices. And find your own way of expressing it. I might say now, I'm looking out of my single eye and I'm seeing that I'm capacity for the world. So that's a start.
That's an excellent start. That's awesome. And in your opinion, what are one of the interesting things to me is that, as you said, it is a nonverbal experience, and everybody is going to express it in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the difficulties that can come up, especially in the beginning when somebody's seeking, because all of the expressions that they might come across can be so unique that there can be some confusion about if people are all talking about the same thing and some lack of clarity. What would you think about that?
Well, I have a lot of experience of this, and I think until you actually see who you are, it is very confusing because everyone's expression is different. But when you actually see for yourself, which, as I said, is so simple and available to anyone who dares to look, really, notice whether you see your own face right now. That is the nonverbal experience. And then you can, then you are your own authority, and you don't have to try and fit your experience into other people's expression. You express your own experience. And as a little aside here, we have regular online Skype meetings now, and we have many different voices. But you know, there's no argument because we've all got the nonverbal experience. So this is a kind of healing of divisions and empowering of one's own expression.
That's amazing. And it was my experience at your workshop, that same thing, that there was a feeling of communal curiosity and openness and a total lack of conflicting opinions. Like nobody came in, or it wasn't very long into the workshop when people dropped their steadfast, dogged attachments to their own expression and were actually open to the curiosity of other people's expression.
Yes, that's right. I mean, right now, you and I are talking and we've got different voices, different tones of voice, different backgrounds and experience, but we're both looking out of this openness. And so there's absolutely no question about that, and for me. And this means that one can embrace different expressions, and there isn't a hierarchy of seers. So it's a very beautiful and true reality.
That's wonderful. I've also noticed it. I mean, I'm kind of I consider myself sort of like the bird watcher of enlightenment and awakening groups online. I mean, I go to all these different forums, and I try and really see how they're interacting. And one of the things that I've noticed on the Facebook group, the No Facebook Facebook group, that's about the headlessness work that you do, is when there are some disruptive elements that come in, there's barely a ripple. You know, people just sort of welcome and have some conversation. But I've seen the same sort of disruption happen in other groups, specifically on Facebook, but also elsewhere, where if somebody comes in with a counter idea, and maybe they're just being sort of an internet troll and stirring up trouble, but there's immediate backlash and a lot of anger and argument. But on the No Facebook Facebook group, they're that's just lacking in a beautiful way.
Yes, I think that it does go in that direction, but I certainly wouldn't plead perfection for our group or for any headless seers. But the thing is that when you see who you are, I think two things happen. One is that you see you are everyone, so everyone's voice is your own, and you include everyone. Now, this is a very different way of approaching others from thinking you're in a body separate from them. But at the same time, you are also self-conscious as an adult, and you know that you've got boundaries, and you will assert those boundaries. I will assert my boundaries at a certain point. So it doesn't mean to say that as a human being you're a walkover. You're not. In fact, I think awakening to who you really are, seeing who you really are, makes you more aware of your boundaries, of your humanity, of your individuality. But at the same time, you see that everyone is yourself. So it's a paradox to be experimented with and lived, and it's a wonderful paradox. But yes, when it, a life of seeing who you really are is not a life without conflict or problems or challenges. That's life.
That's That's awesome, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's another one of the misconceptions that's often out there, I think, in terms of people looking for awakening or enlightenment or something. They view that somehow life will become utterly perfect, and they cast aside the humanity that's the gift that we're given here. And you know, if you examine the lives of any of the, you know, legendary sages, you know, Buddha or Ramana Maharshi or whomever you want to look at, they were very, very human, and they had problems just like everybody else, you know.
Yes, exactly. This isn't pretending to be something that you're not. This is being who you are, warts and all.
That's a beautiful way. I love that. It's not pretending to be something you're not. That's awesome. And so, other than the confusion over terminology, what were some of the other big barriers or challenges that you had in your own accepting of and waking up to what you really are?
Well, I think my challenges are probably the same as everybody's challenges, and probably one that we all recognize is that life doesn't go according to plan. Life doesn't do what you want it to do. And the more I go on, the more I notice that happens every day in small matters and in big. And another way of putting it is that the world doesn't act according to your will. And I think that every day and throughout my life there's this challenge, really, of doing what I can to, you know, follow my own light, my own ambition, my own vision, but then having to surrender again and again when, if you like, God decides on something else. And I think it's, you know, do what you change what you can, accept what you can't change, and have the wisdom to know the difference. It's along those lines, really. And the thing about seeing, if I just add this, is that when you see who you are, you see your capacity for the world. And in a deep sense, you have no will, because what happens just arises, including your own will. It just emerges. And one's life is a kind of continual coming back to this openness where one is and saying yes to the present moment. And that's not always easy.
Yeah, it's not always easy. That's with my experience as well, and you just nailed the words that I use when I speak with myself about it, which is that if you view yourself as a separate thing from the rest of life, the rest of reality, then you become a thing among things, and all of those other things can have a negative or a positive impact on you, but you chase around and try to avoid this and get that and all that. And there's a basic knot of a no to life that happens deep in your gut. And then as you open up to what you really are, when that separation falls away to whatever extent it does, that no becomes a yes. And even though on the surface you may have more no's to say to life, but on a deep, deep level, it's just a yes. This is what's happening, and now I got to deal with it. I may have to change it, but it's just what's happening, so that's sort of accepted.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. And I think the other thing that's worth saying is that one can only see who one is now, in this moment. And so in this moment now, I am returning to awareness of this capacity. I can't do it for tomorrow or even a minute ahead or the rest of my life. I can only do it now. And I am seeing now, and your listeners can be doing it now, hearing the silence in which these voices are coming and going. And we do this perfectly. In the present moment, when you attend to the space you're looking out of, you can't do it wrong. You can't half see your no face. You can't see it better or worse than someone else, can you? I mean,
no.
Yeah. You see, that's wonderful. We've got perfect agreement here. Now, how we express it, we will differ. But you can't experience nothing differently from someone else. And this is a very special nothing. It's an awake nothing full of the world. And it's always full of something. It's a wonderful thing. And so your listeners now can pay attention to this no face, this silence, this emptiness in which their present experience is happening. And here we're one, and there we're many.
Yes, definitely. And that's another thing that, you know, in the Advaita tradition, a lot of the comparison for the awakened mind is that, I mean, Ramana Maharshi said, that which does not exist in deep sleep is not real. And what you just said was that it's you're looking and attending to nothingness, but not a blank, boring, asleep nothingness, but a special nothingness that you're awake to and awake as.
Yes, it's self-evidently awake. It's a seeing, experiencing space full of this moment. It's a miracle. This is, you know, the miracle of all miracles is this, that one is. I don't think one, there's no reason. It's a wonderful gift.
And so having come into that and coming into seeing your own no face over the years, especially when you did at such a tender age, when obviously many people are going through a lot of confusion and trouble. How would you say that your life has changed if you could cast your mind back to what it was like before you got introduced to this and then after, once this sort of settled in?
Yes, well, it's one of those things how, you know, it's rather hard to say how it has affected one because one hasn't got an alternative experience
right.
to compare it to. But for sure, before I saw this, I was a confused teenager. But I tell you, after it, I was still a confused teenager. And I don't suggest that I'm not confused sometimes now. But I think what it's affected me in many, many ways. And it's been a light throughout my life. And I've got so many friends I share this with in just an ordinary way. And yet extraordinary, and you know, in many, many ways, that it's had a huge effect. But I'd say that deep down, right from the get-go, you are home, and you know, you can. It's self-evident. You can find home anytime you like, and in the midst of all one's normal human confusion and challenges and sorrows, there's this sense, this visible experience of being at home, and this makes a difference. And it whatever goes on, and one isn't, I don't think, spared of any of the challenges of life. Thank God, really, because life is just such a fantastic thing, obviously, even though it's painful. But deep down, one is seeing that one is home, and one is the one, and one is safe, and one is united with all beings, and inwardly, secretly, you see. And I think this is has been and continues to be just a wonderful thing. But alongside that, as I mentioned, just the quality of friendship that comes from sharing this with others who value this is a wonderful thing. And then I think the more I go on, the more I realize what a wonderful treasure I've found and how I can draw on it in all kinds of situations, for example, creative work. This nothing isn't just a blank nothing, as you said, it's the source. And it works, and one surrenders to it and invites it into one's life and waits for it to act. And it is so wise and clever and unpredictable. And so in these and other ways, with friends, the kind of intimacy that comes with friends, with animals, with trees, from being them, from having nothing in the way, this deepens and deepens and deepens and will deepen forever. So, yes.
That was sort of a thought, or I don't know, realization, or an aha moment that I had the other day, which you just reflected in your words, which was that since I'm dedicated to people trying to or people who want to awaken having an easier time of it, various aspects of that, what I realized is there's never going to be a definitive work on what awakening is because, as you said, there's no end to it.
Yes, that's right. There's a definitive experience now.
Yes.
In the view in, is the view out is always changing and is always partial, and one's expression or work is always limited in that way, which is wonderful, really. But arriving home, one is fully, completely at home now. Isn't it true? You don't have to believe me. You look for yourself. How many eyes are you looking out of? How wide are you? Did you ever begin? Very simple. This is the power of the experiments, is inviting people just to check out what they are from their own point of view, as opposed to what you are to other people or in the mirror, which is the opposite.
Right. And so what would be your advice to someone sort of early in this? It's strange to say early in the stages of seeking, but what I mean by that is somebody who has become cognizant of their own wanting to find out answers to these questions and therefore, in an active mode of looking for them. What would your advice to be somebody who's going through those sort of early stages be?
I would say that in this moment now, point your finger at where others see your face and look for yourself. And before you try and explain what you see or understand what you see, look without having to understand or explain, and just look, and you'll notice you don't see your own face. No one can see their own face for themselves. And then express it in your own way. But do an experiment. There are lots on the website. Do an experiment. Instead of trying to work it out, understand it, think it, understand what a teacher is saying, me included, have a look for yourself. I've got my hand in front of me now, and then I bring it past my head. Well, I don't. It gets bigger and then disappears into the void here and then comes out. That is simple, and that is experiential. And keep looking. Keep looking.
That's great advice. I mean, that's for in my own experience, that was one of the major points that sunk in for me and clicked for me when I first back in 2007, I got a version of the message of what I really am that finally clicked for me. And subsequent to that, I see the same message repeated everywhere. But previous to that, because I was confused by different expressions, I couldn't tell that they were fundamentally saying the same thing. But one of the things that was really key for me was just repetition. It's not going to be something you in a way, you see it once and you've seen it, and you can't unsee that you've seen it. But in another way, to loosen up all of those built-up habits of believing that you're separate or however you would, the individual person would express it, whatever the source of the suffering is, that takes time over time and repeated exposure to finally wash away the confusion. Yeah.
Yes, and everyone will find their own way. I find, and many of my friends find, that it's much more effective, instead of trying to change your beliefs, to not bother about them in a way. I mean, accept them there, but just see and look at this non-verbal, non-emotional, non-conceptual openness that you are full of the world. And just stay with that. And your beliefs and so on, I'm sure, will change, but you don't have to kind of attack them. Just rest in the source. Rest upstream from everything. See that you're already upstream and always have been. And find out what comes up in the space. And what comes up for you will be different from what comes up for anyone else.
That's beautiful. That's one of the other distinctions that really helped me in all of this is that you just touched on, which is that there's basically two realms major realms that we sort of operate in, and one is how to be in the world, like how to manage the individual little pieces of life that come our way and that we are asked to deal with, and then there's the what we are. And when we're only attending to how to be, things can get quite painful and confusing. But when we can also attend to what we actually are, then how to be becomes easier to deal with.
Yes, that's right. And habits don't melt away in a moment. But one lives from the source into the world, and every situation becomes an opportunity to be who you are consciously. Washing the dishes, you see your arms coming out to the source. Or talking to a friend, you see your face to no face. Or driving in your car, you see you're still, and the scenery is moving. So it's an ongoing meditation. It's not something you've learned. It's ongoing enjoyment of being who you are, and of not knowing what is going to happen next.
That's probably the best part.
Yes.
So you mentioned some things before. One of the things about Douglas's work is that a lot of it is not all of it by any means, but a good deal of it is very visual, and because you're actually looking at something or nothing, as it were. And there are a lot of videos and experiments on your website, but where can people go to learn more about this work and about you and about the Headless Way?
Yes, on the website. And we also have Skype video meetings where you can meet friends who are living from this. And I think that seeing from here is an ongoing experience, and having friends that you share it with is an enormous boost if you're drawn to it. It's not necessary, but it's a great reminder. I suppose it's a kind of headless sangha, or a sangha. It doesn't necessarily have to be headless. Every situation in a way becomes an opportunity to be reminded of this. And problems as well. Problem there to no problem here. And of course, you're right. Many of the experiments are visual. But once you get home, it's not just visual, is it? I mean, I'm hearing my voice in the silence, and your voice in the same silence. And I feel my body sensations in this bodiless openness. And my body sensations really are as big as the world. And my thoughts are arising now, flowing from the no mind or into the no mind. And tastes emerge in this tasteless emptiness. And so, yes, I think the visual experiments are very good because it's very easy to communicate through vision, pointing or single eye or tube and so on. But as soon as, in the moment of seeing it, you're in the center, which is open to all the senses.
That's wonderful. And so I
do welcome people to get in touch with me if you're serious about headlessness, through the website. Get in touch with me. That's you're welcome.
So the website is headless.org.
That's right. Yes.
And it's available in many languages.
Yes, we've got friends in many different cultures, languages. And translating films and things, and gradually we'll bring more of the website online in languages other than English. We're just working away on it and producing ebooks as well.
And so there's a large library of experiments that people can find there. I've been through
yes,
all of them,
freely
some of them in your workshop. Yeah.
Yes.
Right, freely available to anyone who wants to come and take a look, and then a huge number of articles and
films
reports
on YouTube. Yes, right. Lots of films.
And I've been for years getting the
Reflection
Course in Seeing, via email, which
yes,
is a great resource.
Yes, great. You can subscribe for free on the website to the Reflections course, and yes, I did a huge amount of work on that, so you'll be getting them for some years to come, Travis.
Yeah, I absolutely love them. And people can go to YouTube and find the... What's the YouTube channel name?
Well, there's lots in different languages, Head Exchange. But if you go to the website, to the video page, you'll see links there.
Awesome.
That's probably the easiest way.
Awesome. Well, this has been phenomenal, Richard, and I really appreciate you taking the time, especially with our time difference today.
Yes. It's morning for you and evening for me here
exactly.
in London. But isn't it a delight to have both our voices in this one consciousness? I mean, what a marvelous, what a miracle.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And that's, I think, one of the blessings specifically of the internet and the ever shrinking global village that
yes.
we can all come together in as one at the same time, you know.
Yes, as who I am, I'm speaking with Rich's voice and Travis's voice.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to say with either.
That's beautiful. Well, this is awesome. Is there anything else you would like to leave people with who are listening? Or?
Well, just to thank you, Travis, for thinking of doing this and organizing it. A delight to share this the miracle of who we are with you. And just a warm invitation to any of your listeners to come to the website or contact me if you're seriously interested in what we have to offer there.
Yeah, I would highly recommend anybody who hears this just go check out the website. There's a lot there, but it's all free and up and available. And just poke around and see what sticks, and follow along as you feel yourself pulled.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you again so much, Richard, and this has been wonderful. And I look forward to seeing you in the not seen here.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you. Face to no face.
That's wonderful.
In the near future, I hope.
Thank you, Richard.
All right. Thank you.
I'll speak with you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.